Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. Got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way. No, I don't think Hank done it this way. Look at.
Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the broadcast. September 15, 2019. We are live. Lots and lots happening. I'm supposed to have a guest. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure Ken will figure it out if able. All right. Well, I see he's on a do not disturb right now anyway. Anyway, I can't. Okay, I got you, Ken. Anyway, love this live radio stuff. So anyway, hope everybody's doing all right. I'm typing something over to Ken right now. Anyway, so I guess the big thing going on is the oil 20% spike. People are talking about it going back up to $100 a barrel. Everybody was worried about how cheap the oil was with a recession and so forth and so on. People preparing for $20 a barrel oil, and then mysteriously a drone allegedly strikes these two big facilities in Saudi Arabia, the twins. Okay, so now we have a oil jumping up. I'm sure we'll all see it at the pump. We'll all be happy for that, won't we, that we get to save the oil men and the world economy by coming a little bit more out of our pockets. I'm sure you're all happy about that. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's people out there probably already saying that the Mossad did it to try to start a war with Iran. Iran saying they're ready, so forth and so on. I believe we have our guest, and he's probably hooked in with us now. Oh, still calling him. Okay. So a lot going on, though. You know, I've got a whole list of, you know.
Robert, I'm here.
All right, great. So we got Dr. Jim Fetzer, who's a pretty regular guest on the broadcast. And I was just talking about this alleged drone strike into the Saudi oil facilities called the Twins.
Yeah.
And
looks like that was an Israeli op to blame on Iran. The Houthis wouldn't have the technical capability to do it. And in fact, it appears to have been done by the Israelis using F-35s.
Okay, so Dr. Fetzer, through his research, thinks it was actually an airstrike from some F-35 jets. Another thing going around is basically, this was some sort of a hybrid to raise world oil prices as well. So you could start up a little fight with the Iranians.
Yes.
Oil prices have been in the cellar. And so now you get a two for one, a two birds with one stone kind of operation by hitting these oil facilities in Saudi Arabia.
You hit the oil facilities, you blame it on Iran, aggravate tensions with Iran. Trump is talking about the American forces being locked and loaded to hit Iran, which is complete insanity. The whole world will be outraged if he pulls any such stunt. I will personally despise the man. It's absolutely outrageous what is going on here.
It's funny that right on the heels of John Bolton getting the boot. What's your thoughts on Bolton?
Well,
and the timing here?
Yeah, it's like one step forward, two steps back, because getting rid of Bolton was really a good thing. Bolton is a extreme warmonger, obviously a complete Zionist. The trouble is, Trump may actually be more dedicated to putting Israel first than he is America first. I'm becoming profoundly disillusioned.
I sort of thought something crossed my mind when Bolton leaves and then days later this thing happens in Saudi Arabia, that this is almost could be number three. We've already talked about the other two scenarios. A little punishment to goad Trump. By him firing Bolton, maybe he pissed off the Adelson wing of his power base and so forth. And so they're throwing an operation his way to give him a Hobson's choice. What do you think about that?
Well, it appears that Netanyahu wanted to recover from Putin denying Israel the right to continue striking Iranian targets in Syria. Putin told him enough was enough, and that Russia would shoot down Israeli planes continuing to make these strikes. So Netanyahu came back to Israel having been really given a slap in the face by Vladimir, and this appears to be a way of retaliating.
Sure. Now, I saw this on, I was listening to another program, and Israel's Netanyahu, this is on Reuters, announces post-election plan to annex the West Bank's Jordan Valley. So he's promising if he wins and he retains power that he's going to go ahead and now pull an annexation over here on the West Bank, the Jordan Valley. And they got pictures of him and Bolton overlooking the Jordan Valley, in the last month before Bolton's ouster. That's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, it's completely disgusting. I mean, you look at the map of Palestine, since the creation of Israel, and there's been this constant growth of Israel and diminution of control of lands that belong to Palestine. So they're shrunk to about 5% of what they were in the beginning. It's completely outrageous. Netanyahu is in a desperate contest to be reelected for the fifth time. He's got all these charges of corruption holding over his head. He's made himself the minister of like five different departments, including justice. So he's basically in control of his own prosecution, which is completely outrageous. But the guy is a master manipulator. He thinks he's king of the world.
Yeah. So let's see this with this going on here, the gouging at the pump that's about to happen to all of us. Let's talk about the Democrats coming out of the woodwork with the Beto O'Rourke and this. We're going to come get your AR-15s and AKs. I know that you kind of must have been mystified at the uncloaking here at this last debate. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, he's grandstanding. He's trying to make himself look like a national hero, and there may be a segment of the liberal zealots in the Democratic Party that like that. They were applauding wildly when he said it, but As Senator Christopher Coons, who's a Democrat from Delaware, has observed, he thinks it set back the gun control movement, I would estimate, by 20 years. This is not going to go over with the American people. I mean, you got three big blocks. You got about a third Democrats, about a third Republicans, and you got a third of independent or swing voters who, in the midst of all these shootings, which are frankly staged, but most people believe are real, who would give up their guns when they see shootings going on all around them? I mean, that would be moronic. That would be about as stupid as you could get, to give up your guns when you can't even go to a Kmart. You know, I mean, these are faked one after another, and I've done a huge amount of research, but the American people, for the most part, think they're real. I think Beto blew it big time. It was a way overkill. And I think Coons has it exactly right. You not only have a spike in sales of guns and ammunition, but I really think the Democrats cannot win the election on that platform.
Sure. Americans arming up in huge numbers. I mean, and I really wanted to talk to you about this, how this cocktails with Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, your book. Ken, get clip 7 ready, and I want to play this for Dr. Fetzer. But this, I heard this the other day. I was listening to Alex Jones talking to his one of his attorneys, this guy Robert Barnes, pretty heavyweight attorney from what I understand. And he just started a new legal foundation, American Freedom Law Center or something of this nature. And Alex mentions your book in passing, and basically about an AP article written about him, a hit piece on him. And so let's play this real quick. Ken, roll clip 7.
This headline out of AP. We are filing some suits next week. We're not going to announce those quite yet. I can tell you AP is in the running. We've got 6 or 7 on the table written up. We're just last minute going to be talking the next few days about what we're going to do. Bob's going to get here. He'll be here Monday, and we're going to make those decisions in the next few days, by the middle of next week. But I can tell you AP is in the running here, saying I lost a lawsuit for saying nobody died, even though that's free speech, for a book I wrote called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook that my name's not on, that a professor wrote, and the article's not even about me, but they stand by it. It has a publishing number. I'm not in the book. I'm not on the book. And they just laughed at Barnes when he's called them. He's written them letters. The Wall Street Journal republished it. And people walk by me and say, aha, you lost. It's creating like a self-fulfilling prophecy, they think, for juries in the future. I'm trying to figure out exactly what this is, but here it is. Father of Sandy Hook victim wins defamation lawsuit against Alex Jones. And it hurt my feelings. I got sent a clip last night of a talk show host I helped years ago, nothing but nice to, with just in sublime pleasure going, Jones lost his appeal. Jones lost this. He's going under. And these are even conservatives, I guess, get brownie points with YouTube doing this. But it's so sick, and it's not even true, Robert. So what's the psychology behind this?
Well, I think the press is so used to lying and libeling about you that they just do it routinely and regularly. I mean, they just sort of went nuts with it this summer with a wide range of lies and libels by everybody from the Young Turks, the New York Times.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Pretty fascinating.
Robert.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was enjoying that. I hadn't heard any of this. That's fascinating. How could anyone get so confused? Now,
here's what they're doing. This is an assassination tactic on him, using you, basically your work, and so forth and so on. They're trying to dovetail you two together.
Yeah.
To throw Jones under the bus once again over Sandy Hook because of his prominence and so forth. But at the same time, it puts that mental virus out into the public that, you know, no one died at Sandy Hook. This is a loser in a lawsuit and so forth. So I wanted to see what was going on with you, if you can divulge concerning your side of the house. But and I also wanted to kind of get where you were, what you thought about that.
Well, what's fascinating is that I watched his earlier video deposition in the Connecticut suit. This is several months back.
Sure.
And he acknowledged that he'd never even read the book. Now, He's saying it's authored by me, but it's not. It's edited by me. There are 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired PhDs. We established that the school was closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it was a FEMA drill to promote gun control. We even have the manual. Now think of it this way, Robert. Here you got this guy, Alex Jones, so prominent, most influential on the internet. He's been involved in great controversy about Sandy Hook. He hasn't even read the only scholarly book that dissects the evidence and explain what actually did and did not happen. How can that be the case? How can he be an intellectually responsible person? What it does is discredit him, because it shows he's never known what he was talking about. He's been on all sides of the Sandy Hook issue. He said it was fake and nobody died, but then he said it was real and kids died, and he's made himself look like he's a mental midget.
Well, here's my theory. He knows what happened, but he folded up like a house of cards because he didn't want to deal with the rough going that it was going to be to plod through what was going to face him in the future if he would have stuck to his guns. That's what my theory is.
Well, that's moral cowardice. I don't think he has either the intellectual competence or the moral courage to confront the issue. I mean, it's unbelievably embarrassing. And notice there, he's still in response to this. And how could they come up with a headline like that? So, you know, Sandy Hook father wins lawsuit against Alex Jones. I mean, that's a joke. They know how to spell my name. Mm. I mean, you know, but it's true that up until now, they haven't even been willing to mention the name of the book, because you can actually download it for free as a PDF. All you got to do is put in "Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, PDF, and you can download the original edition, 446 pages, to your desktop. And the beauty of it is you not only have the book for free, but all the images are in color. And you can magnify them, you can go close in, whatnot. I'm telling you, there's so much evidence there that blows the whole case apart that Amazon had to ban it in less than a month after it went on sale, even though it sold nearly 500 copies. I mean, this was completely outrageous. My suspicion, by the way, is that Leonard Posner and his identity is a great mystery, may very well have been responsible for the book having been banned, because he's boasted of having been responsible for taking down more than, tens of thousands of content items from the internet, Robert. Tens of thousands of content items from the internet. The guy is a cyber terrorist. He's taking down right and left, you know, YouTubes, blogs, what have you, that expose the truth. Research about any of these, whether it's Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, Orlando, Parkland, Las Vegas, he's out to get them down. This is a very bad guy. He doesn't appear to be a Native American, which is one of the reasons he can so casually discard our First Amendment rights. Yeah, he appears to have been raised in Israel. That'll give you a clue. There are so many mysteries about this guy. It would not surprise me were it to turn out he's actually Mossad. I mean, it's that bad.
Or a Cynim of some sort that's helping the gun control agenda here in the United States. Now, so what's going on with you personally and your dealings with this court system up there and so forth?
Well, I'm at this point profoundly disillusioned with the state of justice in Wisconsin. Let me give you a couple of highlights. The suit, the complaint with which I was served, was accusing me of defamation for declaring a death certificate, a copy of which, actually more than one, appears in the book.
Hold that thought, Dr. Fetzer. We're coming on break. Hold that thought, and we'll come right back in a few minutes. Incendiary Radio with Dr. Jim Fetzer. See you on the other side of the break.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger-looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
All right, we're back. Dr. Fetzer on Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And Dr. Fetzer was talking about the state of his dealings with the courts concerning people coming after him over his Sandy Hook research and then the book, No One Died at Sandy Hook. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the lawsuit itself is, in a technical sense, frivolous because it has no foundation. It's an allegation that I defamed Leonard Posner, one of the fake Sandy Hook parents, by describing a death certificate he'd made available to a research colleague by the name of Kelly Watt, when during 100 hours of conversation between them, she told him again and again she didn't believe him, didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died, asked for proof again and again. And he finally told her, go to this particular website. As I recall, it was Sandy Hook Facts or his Google Plus website, and she found a death certificate, and she shared it with me, and we co-authored a chapter together that appears in the book. It's chapter 11. Now, this complaint, this lawsuit was launched by claiming the defamation because the death certificate I'd published in the book did not differ in any material respect from a death certificate that was attached to the complaint. But the death certificate attached to the complaint had a file number. There was no file number on the one that Kelly had been given. It had a town certification on the left-hand side. There was no town certification on the left-hand side. And it had a state certification as a true copy at the bottom, when this one also had no state certification. So the idea that there was no material difference is simply absurd. The file number, the town certification, the state certification are all material differences. So this was a logical absurdity from the beginning. But Robert, get this. Although some of the reasons I had at the time for concluding that it was a fabrication, which included that it had a texture difference, the bottom two-thirds had kind of a dark texture, making it look like it was the bottom two-thirds of a real death certificate combined with the top one-third of a fake. It had different fonts and sizes distributed through the document. It turns out they're made up on a form that has this texture difference. Part of it's filled in by the medical examiner. The top part's filled in by the funeral director. And then the bottom part, finally, is filled in by the town registrar, who adds the town certification. This copy that he had given to Kelly Watt had none of the above. And it turns out, by Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have an uncertified death certificate, which means, by Connecticut law, what I said, what I declared in the book of it being a fabrication is true. It's legally true. And yet, during the summary judgment, during which a judge is only allowed to make a determination if there are no undisputed facts, when the authenticity of the death certificate was still disputed, and when I even had two forensic document examiners on my side who not only examined that death certificate, but three others had surfaced during the course of the case, they concluded all four were fabrications. The judge nevertheless went ahead rather than send it to a jury, which he was obligated to do. So there was this improper decision. It was completely outrageous. And in fact, the plaintiff's attorney even introduced a fifth fabricated death certificate, claiming this was the one he'd actually posted that had a town registration, because they discovered belatedly that you cannot have, not even parents can have, a death certificate without the town registration, which was ignoring the plaintiff's own admission during the oral deposition that I showed him the document that I published in the book, and he agreed that that was the one he'd given to Kelly Watt. We had Kelly Watt's affidavit confirming the one in the book on page 181 is the one she was given. So they had a second affidavit from the plaintiff now claiming that the one he actually put up had the certification when it did not. So he's contradicted himself.
Sure. So what's the background of this judge, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's interesting. He's a fifth-generation jurist. I assumed he'd be a good guy and even-handed. But his decisions have been obviously and blatantly wrong. I mean, he's made several decisions here that are improper rulings.
What's his political background, do you know?
I can't answer that. Oh, okay. I do believe he tends to buy the official narratives of these things. Uh-huh. You know, I think he probably has believed the official story of Sandy Hook. Well, and it certainly has appeared as though he was being highly deferential to the plaintiff's attorney. Up to this point, I was representing myself pro se, as was Mike Palachek. So I think they felt they had a free fire zone, you know, as legal beagles. They got three different law firms against me. And I think they're trying to pile up legal fees so that if I lose a case, I'm going to be out, you know, a large sum of money, right? Hundreds of thousands just on legal fees alone, Robert.
Yeah, they're doing the lawfare thing on you. And then it's pretty fascinating how the orthodoxy is a mental prison in all these people in all these professions.
Now, so, I'll spell out the contempt hearing and what took care
of. All right. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Dr. Fetzer will finish up on his status right now in the legal mishmash that he's caught up in, and then we'll move on. All right. See you guys on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
There's rain on the mountain. I watch for us on the moon.
All right, we are back. Incendiary Radio and RBN with Dr. Jim Fetzer. And so we're going to go ahead and finish up the stuff with his legal proceedings, and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Yeah, what Alex was talking about was a misattribution of a fine imposed upon me to pay the legal fees for a motion for contempt of court. Because I'd shared the video deposition of this guy who called himself Leonard Posner with two other parties. Now, here's the deal. Leonard Posner has photographs of him all over the world. They've been published millions of times. Nevertheless, his representatives imposed all kinds of confidentiality on practically all the evidence they ever presented, I think clearly to constrain my ability to refute it by making it confidential. I was rather surprised by the size of the person who showed up for the deposition, because Leonard Posner in the photographs is fairly substantial, has a hefty girth, and this guy didn't look quite right. I even showed him a photograph as one of my exhibits. I said, and that's that's supposed to be you? And he said, yeah, he said, but it was at 10 years old and he'd lost a lot of weight. And he would have had to lose about 100 pounds, okay? So here's the deal. Wolfgang Halbig had actually sent a credit report that was done on Leonard Posner. And it turns out that there's important information there I didn't appreciate until approaching the hearing in court. I sent it to Wolfgang Halbig because he's had so much experience with Leonard in the hope that he might serve as an impeachment witness, where in most courts, impeachment witnesses don't have to be identified in advance, but they're brought in to show that the testimony of a witness is false. Well, Wolfgang, when he got this, wrote to me and said, he gave me half a dozen reasons why this isn't Leonard Posner and that I'd been played. And he had previously shared with me this this credit report. Well, the credit report shows Leonard Posner was born in 1967, so he would be 52 years old this year. It shows that he's 5'9" or 5'10". Well, the guy who appeared for the video deposition, I thought he was around 32, in his mid-30s. He might be up to 40, but he's not 52, and he's only 5'6", I would estimate. It's not the same guy. Wow. So the plaintiff's attorneys, you know, proverbially bricks, because over this, because it was blowing their cover. So they brought a motion of contempt against me because I'd not adhered to the judge's ruling that it was supposed to be kept confidential. Well, I now have an attorney who's extremely good. And of course, why would I contest that I had, in fact, technically violated? I explained why my reasons were to find verification for my belief that there's a fraud being perpetrated upon the court. And I now regard, and they had me up in the witness chair where it was fascinating because I was able to give a sketch in court that the court reporter was recording of the whole Sandy Hook charade and how we know it was a FEMA exercise where no one died, but also all the evidence that indicates that this party who sat for the deposition is in fact not Leonard Posner. The judge found me guilty because I had violated his directive. And I was, he calculated 20 hours of legal effort to bring the motion at $350 an hour. So that was a $7,000. And if I don't pay it by the time the trial for damages begins on the 14th of October, then he's going to send me to jail for 5 days corresponding with the trial. So I'll be spending nights in jail and days in court.
Well, so is that what you plan to do?
Oh, I'm going to pay the fine. I mean,
okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not eager to spend time in jail. I mean, you know, it's got kind of a romantic notion. He told me to bring my toothpaste. You know, either I'd have the $7,000 or my toothbrush.
Oh,
but
you
know, look, Robert, I'm 78 years old. I use a BiPAP. You know, I have one of these sleep machines. What am I going to do in jail? Are they going to afford me the opportunity to use my BiPAP? I mean, this is ridiculous. Yeah. In any case, I think we actually have, there's a silver lining to this. Here's the following. I had drafted a statement that included attachments from Wolfgang Halbig showing frames from the video deposition juxtaposed with photographs that had been sent around the world, and it's obvious they're not the same person. Well, I submitted a statement as evidence, and the court accepted it, and the plaintiff's attorney put up protests, but they eventually acknowledged, they allowed him to stand, even though it includes these images, so that when the court files are posted on Monday, I'll be free to share them worldwide and demonstrate the points I've been making to you here.
Wow. This is too crazy. You know, this, and you and I have talked about this before with this 2012 operation. That was in 2012, right, Sandy Hook, December?
Yeah, it was 14 December 2012, yes.
Okay, so in thinking about this, if we back out into the macro here and look at it all, and looking at all these operations, the one I look at El Paso is basically a Hail Mary to save Beto's little, you know,
well, Candace. What's the joke, Robert? The guy coming in had trousers with big cargo pockets.
Sure.
And when he was arrested, the cargo pockets had disappeared. So as I put it, what did he do? Decide, well, I'm here in Walmart, I'll pick up a new pair of trow? I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, yeah. We went through this garbage with the El Paso thing, but when all the witnesses said they saw four people running around in black,
right. You had all these contradictions.
Yeah.
You know, they only pulled up one ambulance, and that's so common. There were no ambulances at Sandy Hook to take the little bodies off. There were no ambulances in Orlando. Why? Because those are medical professionals. They're not going to tie up their equipment for a staged event. They have to keep it in case there are any real ones. This is a real tell in Orlando, in El Paso.
Beto actually made this comment. I wish I would have got his hell yeah, we're going to take your guns, because he actually makes the point that you were just making, that this high velocity, high impact round, and the person sat there and bled out because there's only one ambulance, or there weren't enough ambulances, blah blah blah, to show up, and this person died, and all this other stuff. And he was talking about the El Paso operation, we'll call it. But then this Midland Odessa shooting happens, you know, sometime later, and these two Texas operations. Now, here's another thing that I heard on another program, that there were some basically loosening of gun restrictions as far as concealed carry or open carry or something, and or carrying on college campuses. The very day the El Paso op goes down, these were going into effect. And see, this would dovetail perfectly, but it's also a Hail Mary for Beto O'Rourke, Francis O'Rourke.
He's not going anywhere. He's coming across as a lunatic. And I'll tell you, this is a great argument for concealed carry. When they create these free fire zones, as is the case for Walmart, a shooter knows he can fire with impunity. Jim Stone observed, why didn't he get a can of cream of tomatoes, mushroom soup across his, right temple? There are all kinds of things that could have been used defensively had it been real. They could have vacated the store in a minute and a half. He was in there for 20 minutes. They must have had 30 cameras on him. That's 600 minutes. That's 10 hours of footage. We never saw any of it. All complete nonsense. Total bull. You can watch Beto. They got that all those presentations from the debate on YouTube. I'm going to be using it in my news shows tomorrow.
Sure. But did you see how the crowd, when he's like, hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15 and your AK-47, and then they just sycophantically, the loud applause. And
I know, I tell you, but this is going to kill the Democrats' prospects for 2020. It was ludicrous. Everyone can see, look, the defensive use of guns is going to emerge here. Beto at one point, or the Buttigieg, had said we need the CDC to do research on gun violence. Well, they have already had a study of gun violence. It turns out that guns are used for defensive purposes between 500,000 and 3 million times every year. That's between a half a mil and 3 million times every year. They estimate they are saving 200,000 American lives every year by virtue of having guns to protect themselves, that those lives would have been lost if they didn't have them. It turns out that the whole Democratic argument is based on the false premise that the more guns, the more gun violence, when the facts are the opposite. Sure, worldwide. Sure. The more gun ownership, the lower gun violence. U.S. and Canada, highest gun ownership, lowest homicide rates. Brazil, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Africa, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Russia, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. So you can have a choice. You can have more guns and fewer homicides, or fewer guns and more homicides. I don't think that's a tough call for the American people once they know the facts.
Well, simultaneously, we have this other kind of lawfare going on against the gun owner, to where in multiple jurisdictions controlled by these basically neo-Bolsheviks that are gun grabbers, now when people are actually lawfully using a firearm to protect themselves or others, now they're the ones that are trying to be villainized and then held accountable by this racket court system. And so we also have this kind of scenario in play now in these hostile to gun geographic locales controlled by Marxist Bolsheviks, that basically if you pull a gun and you use it in a fashion and you do the right thing, they're still going to try to arrest you and lock you up, throw you in the clink,
Robert,
and so forth.
Dr. Elwin, who had conducted national searches and couldn't turn up anyone in the United States by the name of Leonard Posner, superimposed an electoral map over the gun violence. And there's a stunning correlation between geographical political areas controlled by the Democrats and high gun violence and homicide rates in the rest of the country. It's the Democrats whose own policies are promoting all of this gun violence because they're incapable of adhering to law and order. It's like them willing to let immigrants in willy-nilly. They even want to abandon our borders. That means we're no longer a country. And they want to give free medical care to illegal residents. How about American citizens who pay taxes, for God's sake? This is insane, Robert. The Democrats have gone completely bananas. It's a case where the lunatics really are in charge of the asylum.
Sure. Now, let me run this by you. I heard this on another program. Basically, what they call the mass shooting media contagion, to where the American Psychological Association and all these various studies, they're saying by the way the media is covering some of these, that it actually perpetuates and exacerbates and creates more like what you would get, I guess, call copycats. Are you on board with this kind of ethos, that kind of paradigm?
Well, I actually think there's something to it. It's called imitative learning. You know, they're going to be weak minds who see these examples for them, and it has kind of an imprinting effect. It shouldn't be the case. I mean, the reality, Americans are very peaceable people by and large. We do have a history of citizen soldiers. We could never have defeated the British had the Democrat gun control policies been in place. We'd still be British subjects. Or, alternatively speaking, Japanese Emperor Hirohito contemplated invading the U.S. But his highest-ranking military advisors warned against it. They said there'd be a sniper behind every blade of grass. The fact that we have 100 million armed Americans is our greatest source of national security and strength. Our forefathers contemplated how to guarantee the independence and freedom of the American people, and they felt it was by having a Second Amendment where the population of each state was referred to collectively as a militia of citizen soldiers so they could defend the state from intrusion by the federal government. That's the concept the Democrats have never understood. I mean, they are abysmally ignorant of the Constitution, and they're eager to trash it. It's absolutely unreal. Just as they want to trash the Electoral College, which would mean that the little states aren't even going to play a role in future elections because all the campaigning will be in the five largest states. In fact, it's a really a gross abuse that they're promoting these ideas because they're totally undemocratic. The reason for the Electoral College is to require candidates to take the interest of all of the states and not just the few superpopulated states into account.
Where the most voter fraud and irregularities are, by the way.
That's correct as well, yeah.
Well, here's what's real insidious, and you're talking about the imitative learning or the mass shooting media contagion. So they run run fake ones, and then they pump the fake ones up into the stratosphere media coverage-wise, and then by using the false flag or hoax, whatever you want to call these, then they can create some spin-offs that people really will go out and do dumb things, and then that perpetuates and moves forward with the gun grab confiscation agenda.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, if you want to know the truth, I mean, what I have been doing, and this is why they brought this lawsuit against me to try to quiet me, to silence me. This is technically known as a slap suit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's an improper lawsuit brought with the aim of punishing people who are speaking out, who are blowing the whistle or exposing the charades. I have repeatedly brought experts together in collaborative research and published these edited books on JFK. I published four of them. On 9/11, I published two. On Sandy Hook, on the Boston bombing, on Orlando and Dallas, on Charlottesville, on Parkland. We have a book on Las Vegas in the works. If you want to find out what really happened, you want to go to moonrockabooks.com. And if you think the First Amendment is worth supporting, we have a donation page there where you can contribute to my legal defense fund, because there's some really fascinating aspects coming up here where I really do need more financial resources. But they're going to, you know, they're trying to cream me, as they have done in other cases. In fact, it's very interesting. Leonard Posner put up on a blog when they were having a discussion of a lawsuit he brought against Wolfgang Halbig, where he actually lost the lawsuit, and someone was chiding him for it, said, well, no, actually, we didn't lose because the objective was to have him take down his website, which he did, Sandy Hook Justice, and for others to know that if they continue to speak out, they're going to be dragged into court for a long time. You know, they're trying to set an example of what you can expect if you're an honest researcher and actually take it seriously and speak out on behalf of the American people. These are the cretins we're up against, Robert. They are a disgrace. Yes.
Well, here's, you know, what's fascinating with this, with the Sandy Hook, and if you look at the time frame, 2012, the mass deplatforming, the mass censorship, the taking away people's banking and PayPals, and none of that had happened yet. So it was wide open for everybody to scrutinize the whole Adam Lanza, Nancy Lanza, all this stuff.
Yeah.
With Sandy and all the things that you pointed out. And so basically there's so much out there as far as it's almost like they want to hang or fall on their gun control, gun grab agenda with persecuting everybody that really went after the operation up there in Newtown. Yeah. With all the strange anomalies.
Obama was the inspiration here. He nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 that precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used without by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 in time to bring a Sandy Hook. The mayor of Boston, by the way, was on the Greater Boston radio show hosted by the daughter of Andy Rooney just a month before Sandy Hook. And he was bragging about how he was a buddy of Joe Biden and how the vice president had assured him that gun control would be a done deal by January of 2013. The hostess, Andy Rooney's daughter, was shocked. She said, what could possibly happen for legislation to pass so fast? The mayor wouldn't say what it was, but assured them that Joe Biden had guaranteed it would happen. Obviously, sure. He was talking about Sandy Hook.
Well, sure, with Eric Holders, with Eric Holders being up there previously, yeah. All those visits and so forth, with the folks up there in that area, very strange as well.
Right. You're 100% on it.
Yeah. So we got about 7 minutes left. Let's talk about where we're at with 9/11, the Alaska University up there, WTC-7 structural engineering. Look at it again. And where do you think we're at with 9/11? And
well, I think the American people are no longer believing the official story. I saw polling numbers saying that the American people, 54% thinks Israel was involved, another 22%. The U.S., another 13 Al-Qaeda, and 11 didn't know. But in fact, it was an Israeli op. It was up by and for Israel. It was to justify sending American forces to take out the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and then to confront the Persian nation of Iran. I mean, that's what's going on here. This demonization of Iran is because Israel doesn't want any competition. They want to run the entire Middle East. Now, the Alaska study is great. It showed that after 4 years of study, that Building 7, which was a 47-story, very robust skyscraper that was erected over two enormous electrical generators and designed to never collapse, had only come down not because of the modest fires. And let me add as an aside, no steel structure high-rise has ever collapsed due to fire in the history of the world. And yet we had three, we were told, happen on 9/11. It was absurd at the time, and it's absurd now. What they discovered was that all the support columns in the building were destroyed at the same time to bring all the floors down in a perfectly symmetrical controlled demolition. Absolutely classic. And we know from experience with controlled demolition that they leave a debris pile equal to about 12%. of the height of the original, in this case 47 floors. It left 5.5 floors, just what you'd expect. That was totally different than what happened to the Twin Towers, which were blowing apart in every direction from very powerful explosives. All the floors were remaining stationary until they were converted into very fine dust, which, by the way, is a signature of the use of nuclear devices. And when it was over, there should have been, because they were 110 floors, 13.5 floors of debris. There was nothing there. Father Frank Morales, who was a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, was on my earlier shows twice, and both times he emphasized those buildings were destroyed to ground level. That means it was a completely different mode of demolition. It appears to have been done with nuclear devices, and we have a mountain of evidence. I have a book about it. You can get it, moonrockbooks.com, America Nuked on 9/11. Compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the DOD, and the Mossad.
Yeah, so I got this article up, 9/11 Truth Exploding Worldwide, Perps Desperate to Distract Populace and Disarm Patriots. And then it goes into 2020 election, market crash, World War III. We got a couple minutes left. What's your immediate prognosis for the near future?
Well, I'm very troubled that you got Donald Trump. I'm looking at an article here right now, U.S. locked and loaded after attack on the Saudi Arabia oil field. Remember, initially it was supposed to be the Houthis done with drones. But while I admire the Houthis and they're putting up a valiant defense against attacks from Saudi Arabia, they wouldn't have been able to pull this off. It was done by Israelis using F-35s and to blame it on Iran. And I'm very troubled that Trump is saying the U.S. is locked and loaded. I'm telling you, he's going to go down as an even bigger disgrace in American history than Barack Obama if he attacks Iran.
Yeah. Now, what about those folks that were saying maybe it was the Saudis false flagging themselves to raise oil prices? What would you say to that?
Oh, I think raising oil is also a part of it. No, I think it was the Israelis. In fact, it appears clear that the Russians, the Chinese, and others have satellite photos. They know it was the Israelis using F-35. So it's a classic. Israel commits more false flags than any other nation in the world. They have a history of it. 9/11 was only the most spectacular, but they continue constantly ongoing. Down in Buenos Aires, they even blew up their own embassy and tried to blame it on Iran, but they only killed a couple dozen people. A couple of years later, they blew up their Jewish community center and killed about 84 and blamed it on Iran. The Argentinians stupidly brought in Israeli experts who claimed to have found the VIN number of a car that had otherwise been completely destroyed when the buildings both blew up from the inside out. It's that bad.
All right, Dr. Fetzer, it's been a good hour. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
My great pleasure, Robert. Always enjoy it with you.
All right, thanks. Likewise. See you, folks. Second hour coming up.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.